The following podcast is explicit and for adults only. Okay, then, let's settle in and get dirty.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and this week we have a story of lust and loss from queer artist Justin Hall. Hey there, how's your week going? You know, sometimes you're someplace and you just, in your mind, you're somewhere else. This week, I have been off in the country 3 hours away from San Francisco, near a town called Willits, to this enormous Burning Man-esque campout that happens on Memorial Days there. I've been going to it since, I don't know, I want to say like the year 2000, 2002, when a guy I was dating invited me to go to this amazing event that happens off in the woods at this beautiful piece of land that has an ice cold fish pond to swim in, and it has hot tubs and grass to lay on, and everybody contributes together to create meals, teach Skillshare type classes as we travel the gardens and look at nature. Totally remote, totally surrounded by freaks. The first time I went, he said, be sure to pack some costumes. And I was like, costumes? We're going camping. And I thought they were pranking me. I thought this was a joke. And when I showed up, and it was the 100 core volunteers of Burning Man and their friends, and everybody was in costume, I realized I had fucked up. On Saturday night, one of the women said, what are you wearing tonight? I went, I just brought stuff for camping. I really didn't think he meant it when he said, bring costumes. And she dressed me up in this amazing, sexy, freaky getup, and I felt like I belonged. They had places like the Smut Dome, where you could cuddle up with friends in pillows around a little gas fireplace in the middle of this yurt, snuggling with people, more than snuggling with people, as you stayed warm in the middle of the night, and in the wee hours you went back to your tent to finally get some sleep. To wake up just in time for the mimosa fairies to wander by and bring you champagne and orange juice. To get up and have a big southern breakfast. To compete in contests like the fried okra contest. To watch entertainment like the ass off. Who's got the best ass? And you know that moment where you feel like you find your people? That was definitely one of them for me. As I sat on the grass next to some new friends, they asked me how long I'd been going to Burning Man. And I said, well, I'm fat and Irish and I hate heat. In fact, I left Atlanta because I hate heat. Okay, that's one of like 100 reasons why I left Atlanta. It's not the main one, but heat was a problem in Atlanta. And they said, no, you go to Burning Man. I do. I think I'd know. So later that year, they all started working on getting me to Burning Man for my first Burning Man. They found me a theme camp, a BDSM theme camp to camp with, where I became the court jester for all the dominants. I found another community that felt so right. And after that, I went back to that campground again and again. To the grass and the nature and the gardens and swimming in the swimming hole naked with all the other freaks. And I threw my own kinky campouts up there where I would teach classes like how to give a hand job, or flavoring your fluids, secret pineapple, but there's a lot of secrets there too. And other people would teach classes like hair bondage and play piercing, and we'd wander around in the woods, not having to worry if anybody saw us. Just doing our own thing out in nature. This week, there was no camp. There was no nature. There was no hugging 300 people hello. And I really missed it. I've been trying to reach out and call some of those people, but it's not the same. I'm hoping that next year for Memorial Day, I can be with my freak friends again. I'm watching their kids grow up. I'm watching their kids become freaks. I'm watching them find new ways to be themselves and create a business out of it. I mean, in a way, that's kind of what Body was. It was this thing I was passionate about, and it became what I do all the time. I don't know that I would be the person that I am. I don't know that I would be doing what I do if it weren't for me seeing other people go, yeah, this is it. This is who I am. And the world's not going to stop me. I want to encourage you as much as you can right now while the world's beating you down. Try and find some support. There's a lot of reinvention going on right now. Sometimes it's out of necessity. Sometimes it's like, well, if the world's going to implode, I can be anything right now, right? I don't have to go back to my office manager job and put on pantyhose. I don't have to adhere to that asshole boss's requests. A lot of it is dealing with personalities. Find your people right now. Start planning for the future. We're kind of hitting that wave where we're so anxious to get back to what we were doing. Start planning. Start thinking of who you want to be. The person that's 100% you that you don't have to hide from the world. If it's a brand new world, maybe that person should show themselves, right? Instead of hiding who you are. As somebody who grew up in the South and watched so many of my queer friends not be allowed to be who they are. When we come out of isolation, we could create a new world. That's what's sustaining me right now. Thinking about what's possible. It's hard right now, but maybe it's hard because what's next is going to be amazing. Lube is the key to maximizing pleasure, whether alone or with a partner. If you're going to lubricate, you want to make sure it's done with the highest quality, most body-safe ingredients. And for that, nothing beats Uberlube. Why? I'm going to just tell you the many ways, and you pick the one that works for you. Uberlube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. The vitamin E leaves a velvety finish that actually moisturizes your skin. It's great for all kinds of play, vaginal, oral, or anal. That might be my favorite one right there because I love saying those words. People can also use it in their hair for their hair frizzies, for chub rub under the breasts or between thighs. That's a good tip as we head into hot water, for massage, and more. Uberlube is for everyone. Thousands of doctors recommend Uberlube as their go-to solution for patients experiencing dryness. Uberlube's simple ingredient list makes it widely used by people with sensitivities to other lubricants. Uberlube lets skin feel skin. Lube is supposed to enhance touch, not overpower it. Uberlube adds a thin layer that leads to just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensations. Uberlube's measured pumps allow you to dispense the perfect amount of product every time, even in the dark. You are in control of how long it lasts. Uberlube offers long-lasting performance when you want it, then quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. It feels like a nice moisturizer when you're finished. Many people often say, I never knew lube could be this good. Users report loving it on their body and not feeling like they need to wash it off. There's no flavor and no scent. And what makes Uberlube body safe? It's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. It stays on the surface of your skin and doesn't enter your bloodstream like water-based lube. Whoa, that sounds important. Uberlube is latex compatible, so it's safe and effective to use with condoms. UberLube works underwater, making it great for fun in pools, lakes, and tubs. And it won't stain clothing or bedding. Any spills can be easily cleaned with detergent and water. And right now, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at uberlube.com. That's 10% off. Free shipping. Just use Dixie at uberlube.com. Give it a try. UberLube really is the best. It lets you feel what you want to feel. Are you ready for a story? Well, let's talk about this week's storyteller, shall we? Justin Hall is the creator of the comic series Hard to Swallow with Dave Davenport. True Travel Tales and Glamazonia. He has stories in the Houghton Mifflin Best America Comics, Queer Best Erotic Comics, and the SF Weekly, among others, and has exhibited his art in galleries and museums internationally. He edited the Lambda Literary Award-winning, Eisner-nominated No Straight Lines, Four Decades of Queer Comics, which he's now producing as a feature-length documentary film. Hall curated the world's first museum show of LGBTQ comics at the San Francisco Cartoon Art Museum, as well as the largest such show at the Schulz Museum in Berlin. He's the first Fulbright Scholar of Comics. What? An associate professor of comics at CCA, that's California College of the Arts, the co-organizer of the Queers in Comics Conference, and has written on both LGBTQ comics and erotic comics for the Routledge Companion to Comics and the Cambridge History of the Graphic Novel. Holy shit, this guy's fancy. This storyteller is Justin Hall.
Thank you. I didn't want to, like, you know, there's some Robin stereotypes here, of course, but, and I know, so, wait, so people know who I am, right? This is, all right. My father actually, he saw a picture of me in this outfit, and he was like, oh, you look great in a Green Lantern outfit. What? I've lived with you for how long? And Jesus. This actually has absolutely nothing to do with the story I'm going to tell. I'm in it because Dixie's a costume fetishist, so yeah! Got to get the lady what she wants. And I know there's a disconnect here because Robin is the boy wonder, and I'm not really so much that anymore. I'm Robin as he's grown older, he's gone to seed a little bit. So I'm Robin the daddy wonder, yeah. the story I'm going to tell is actually, the other reason is that I need some superhero courage here because it's actually a fairly difficult story. The best sex scene that I ever did when I was a porn star was one I did for Mustang in 2006. And my scene partner at the time was this guy named Josh, who was this like thick, you know, sexy hunk of a Midwestern guy. He had a handsome, cute face, kind of like a Chris Pratt with a juicy, like hairy bubble butt. Yeah, nice thing. And we just had like an incredible connection, this amazing sexual chemistry. I was a farmer and I came across him. He was illegally camping in my land, and I had to go full deliverance on him because that's what you do. Made him squeal like a pig. Thank you. So we fucked on hay bales, which I do not suggest. Hay bales are, that shit is itchy. Do not do that. But we were laser focused on each other, and it didn't matter because the sex was that good. At the end of it, it was the best sex scene that I had done, and it was the best one that he had done in his career, and also the best one that the director had ever shot. So that felt really good. Now, pornography, by the way, is not sex. Not to blow anyone's mind here, but they're absolutely, completely, porn is lies. It takes 6 to 8 hours to shoot a 20-minute scene. You're fucking in one position, and then the director is like, cut, and then you got to move the lights underneath the balls to get another camera angle going. You fuck in that position for 5 minutes. then cut, and you gotta drink some apple juice to get your blood sugar up and your boner back. So, but you know, this particular sex was, there was an authenticity to the connection, to the sex, that was really unusual in this artificial world of porn. And at the time that we were doing this scene, my grandmother was around the corner, basically, just a few miles away, dying. Yeah. I loved my grandparents very, very much. They're remarkable, wonderful people. They were atheists and feminists and progressive folks who did LSD when it was still legal. And my grandfather was a photographer. He refused to be called grandpa or even dad. He was known as Dick. He was just Dick, or Dickie if you were feeling affectionate. So, and Dick was a photographer who was part of the F64 school. His best friends were Ansel Adams and the Westons. He worked with in Hollywood with Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, Elizabeth Taylor, folks like that. My grandmother was fucking brilliant. She graduated college at 19 and became an early childhood education specialist and was one of the sweetest women in the world. At one point, there was a family gathering. I was maybe eight or so. And I was a very precocious child. I went around and asked all of my family members if they would be okay if I were gay, if I grew up gay. And they all answered affirmatively, like totally positive. But my grandmother's response was the best, which was basically like, you're gonna grow up and discover so many amazing things about yourself, and I'm gonna be there discovering them with you. And everything that you discover is gonna make me love you more. Yeah, how the fuck do superheroes get verklempt in like a mask? Jesus. So, yeah. Now, we were very open with each other, but I never did tell my grandparents that I was a porn star. I didn't do that. So, and around 2005, when I started doing porn, my grandmother started slipping into dementia. And she went from being this incredibly brilliant, sweet woman to being a sweet little zombie. And eventually, she got worse and worse, and then she went into hospice. And I was devastated. I desperately wanted to see her, to go down and visit her, but she was already in a comatose state. We didn't know how long she would last. And she lived in Southern California in Calabasas. It was hard to get to. So during this time, I was trying to figure this out. I got a phone call from Mustang, said, look, we want to do a porn shoot in a ranch at a location. Do you want to be part of this? And I needed the extra money, and I had some extra time on this weekend. I said, sure. So a bunch of us porn stars and crew, we all went, flew down to LAX, and we're getting in cars, and we're driving out to this ranch, and I'm like, holy shit, we're driving to my grandparents' house. it was actually literally around the corner, I mean that in a Southern California sort of way. So it was not actually like walkable, but, but you know, a 15, 20 minute drive, maybe. Now, mind you, this is before, you know, there's no public transportation out there. This is before Lyft and Uber. A taxi would have been prohibitively expensive from near a city. And I don't know how to drive, actually, so I couldn't even borrow a car. So I was really near my grandparents. My grandmother was dying, and I couldn't get to them. And I was there to do a job, which was to fuck on screen. And luckily, I was talking to my scene partner, Josh, and he was incredibly sympathetic. He was actually living with his own grandmother in Ohio at the time. And we did this incredible sex scene. Like, it was the best, as I said, the best of my career. I got home, and I had messages saying that my grandmother had died. And I did the timing, and she literally had passed when I was shooting this film. So I contacted Josh, I called Josh, and I said, look, I know this sounds really fucking weird, but can we dedicate that incredible sex scene to my grandmother? And he said, yeah, I get it, absolutely. It'll be for us this private dedication of this incredible sex to your grandmother. Of course, it's not so private anymore. You all know this now. So, a couple of years later, Dick, my grandfather, moves with my aunt to upstate New York. And I'm going to visit them, and I go through Brooklyn. I have a friend there, Henry. I was staying with him, and then I go up to upstate for like 2 days, and then coming back, I would pick up my stuff in Brooklyn and fly back to San Francisco. So I was up in upstate, and I was having a conversation with my grandfather, and with Dick, and I just, Dick, right, okay. It was this incredibly profound talk where he basically said, you know, I'm ready to die. He was devastated from the loss of my grandmother. He had lived a long life, and he couldn't find so much joy anymore, and he was ready to go. And we cried, and we hugged, and we said goodbye to each other. And then that night, I went to sleep. I woke up to sounds of violent coughing and came out, and I saw him coughing blood. And my aunt and I rushed him to the hospital. They put him under right away, and we knew that he would never come out again, that this was the end for him. So we sat up by his bed and cried and told stories. And then, you know, I, sleepless and delirious, I got on the train to go back to Brooklyn to get my stuff and fly back home. And I got a text message from Henry, who didn't know this was happening, saying, this incredibly hot Dutch guy, Marcus, is in town. And we should all hang out this afternoon before you head to the airport. And I got to Brooklyn, and I was so fucking horny. And not just horny, I was hungry. And I had the best fucking three-way of my life. Henry is this like kind of built like, you know, butt plug sort of man, right? This kind of like thick butt plug of a man. I mean that in the best possible way. Yeah. But also like fresh face, he's a lawyer and like dresses in a suit and tie, which those people are always the kinkiest motherfuckers. And Marcus was this like lean muscled guy with a huge uncut Dutch dick, right? And I fucked the hell out of them. I opened them up so much that Henry ended up sitting on Marcus's foot, which I didn't even know at the time was a thing. You can do that. He had Marcus's foot up his ass. Simply put, it was transcendent, right? This is transcendent sex. So I got home and my grandfather died a couple of days later, and I contacted Henry and Marcus the same way that I had contacted Josh, and I said, I know this sounds fucking weird, but can we dedicate this monumental fuck to my grandfather? And they said, yeah, we get it. Yes! Fucking perfect pride, man. So, and actually, Henry even sent me a photograph of, which was taken during the time of my grandfather's career and in the style of his portrait photography of a naked cowboy. And basically said, this is to commemorate your grandfather and the fuck that we had to celebrate his passing. It's fucking cool. Yeah. So sex and death, you know, as I was having this incredible three-way, I was trying to get as much pleasure and intensity of feeling as I possibly could, knowing that my grandfather was getting closer and closer to feeling nothing at all. And I think of, you know, sex can be many things, right? But one of the things it can be is this wild, animalistic, passionate ritual of life affirmation, right? A kind of howling of defiance in the face of the oblivion that comes for us all. It's La Petite Mort versus the big one. The little death versus the big death. So you are all kind of witness here to a sort of last will and testament of mine, which is, if and when you know, hear of me dying, I want you to go out and have a fucking monumental fuck. Have the best fucking sex you can. Because look, you know, death comes for us all, but we may as well come at death first. Thank you.
That song was Sex by Lenny Kravitz. The live streams are going so well, and I want to tell you about the one coming up this week. Saturday, May 30th. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Is that daylight? Is that what I say? I don't know. Pacific Daylight Time. This week, we have an incredible lineup. We have from Berlin, San Francisco, Los Angeles, globe-trotting DJ, the head of Booty Mashup. Have you heard of Booty Mashup? Amazing music. Adriana Roberts is going to be telling her first story for Body. And then from New York City, we have Dirty Lola. From Minneapolis, we have Mistress Amanda Wildfire. From Seattle, we have comic stripper Woody Shticks. And then brilliant songwriter Jefferson Berkey is going to join us with songs. Live streaming is working out exactly like I hoped it would. Seattle, Minneapolis, New York, Berlin, all the places I've wanted stories from, but I haven't been in. Now the stories are coming to us via the live stream. We're going to be doing these about every 2 weeks on a Saturday night right before your virtual orgy to get your party started. And I also want to let you know that we are talking right now with the Risk Podcast to do another collaboration, but this will be our first live stream collaboration. Make sure you're on our email list because you'll find out first what the date is going to be of that live stream show. Go to bodystorytelling.com/subscribe to find out more. How long have you been listening to the Body Storytelling Podcast? Sometimes I get emails. I got 3 this week from people telling me that they'd been listening since the very beginning, since that one podcast episode we did in 2013. And I gave up and went, this shit is hard. And didn't come back until like late 2016 to try again. They've been listening all those years. And they wrote me for the first time this week. So a lot of you seem to be listening for a long time. And if you have been listening that long, you know, I hate asking for help. I hate it. I want to do everything myself. It's part of the reason I'm not a global phenomenon yet. But I would much rather give than receive. But right now, I need to ask for your help. Patreon is how I am paying my bills. Patreon is what's keeping us going, not just here at the podcast, but it's also funding us as we do all the research to produce a live stream. And there's a lot of new knowledge. There's a lot of studying and work and testing that has to be done. And all of that is paid work. And you can help me pay people to make the live stream keep coming out on a regular basis, to make sure the podcast comes out on a regular basis. You can do that at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/body and give it whatever level you can. But I will tell you the best level. The best level is, well, okay, I'll take your money at any level, of course. But I've made sure that at the $10 a month level, you get a lot for your investment. You're investing in our future. So at that level, we give you free tickets to the live stream. We give you the live stream replay. It's only found on Patreon. It's the easiest way to do that. If you do the math, in May, we did 3 shows, if you count the one this Saturday. There were 3 Saturday nights when we, well, there were 5 weeks. There were 3 Saturday nights that we did shows. So right there, you're saving a ton. You got 3 free live streams. You got replays. You also get ad-free podcast episodes and a bunch of other stuff. But that is the level that will get you huge rewards and help us sustain this thing. I am watching businesses drop like flies right now. I don't want to be one of them because I don't know who the fuck would hire me. Look at what I do for a living. So give me a little dash of hope, will you? Go to patreon.com/body. Give it whatever level you can. And thanks in advance for your support. We've come to the end. And you know, I like to say thank you to the people who make this possible every single week. Thank you to podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. Marty, you're killing it right now. Thank you to sound engineer, David Grossoff. Thank you to video archivist, Joe Moore. And thank you to you. Thank you for telling friends about the podcast. Thank you for listening, for reviewing, for sharing on social media. We could all use a little bump right now. The podcast could use your help. So tell someone you love it. Introduce somebody else to something that they will love too. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. And before I leave, I want to tell you that Body Storytelling is a member of the Pleasure Podcasts Collective, sex positive podcasts that are working to change the world, trying to make the world more open and accepting. And I want you to know about one of the other podcasts in our collective. This week, we're going to introduce our friends at Sex Talk with My Mom. Karen Lee Potter and Cam Potter are a son and mom talking about sex. Their podcast is so interesting. It's the conversation you wish you'd had with your mom way back when. Give a listen.
Hi, I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
And we host the Sex Talk with My Mom podcast. We are excited to answer the Pleasure Podcast's question of the month.
What is our number one sex tip for quarantine?
Mom, what's yours?
I like the idea of Zoom sex with other people. What? What are you making a face for?
Have you done that?
As a matter of fact, yes, I have.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have.
And you Zoom sex?
Yes.
With who?
We're not going to get into this right now. There's only a 30-second clip.
Oh, my God. Do you want to hear more from my mother about her sex life?
Do you want to hear more from my son about his sex life or lack thereof?
Thank you. Check out the Sex Talk with My Mom podcast.